Good morning again. I want to welcome our visitors this morning. It's a wonderful blessing to have you with us, and we hope that we're a great encouragement to you. And I think that's what I was being motioned about earlier. I apologize if I failed to say that earlier. I hope that you all are able to humor me this afternoon as I speak about something that's near and dear to my heart, and you'll understand why in just a few moments. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Brethren, this sermon requires that I ask you all something this morning. It might not sound like the most important question that was ever asked, but you can easily imagine that the answer to the question can be quite significant in most of our daily lives. In fact, under certain circumstances, the answer just might mean the difference between life and death. The question is, what kind of driver are you? From time to time we hear a sermon, maybe a radio broadcast, a TV show, maybe even watch a movie where there's a practical lesson that's drawn from a look at, or maybe just an examination of something that's common to all of us. Maybe, again, even a spiritual lesson that can be gleaned from some of the things that we do in our everyday lives. And that's what I want to try and do this morning, as I talk about something that in the time and place in which we live has become pretty much second nature to all of us. Almost all of us drive or have driven an automobile in the past. Growing up in the USA, we can easily take it for granted that in a country that's so rich and prosperous and so developed with so many roads and off-roads that you probably couldn't travel all of them because they never stopped coming, not in one lifetime. It's easy to take for granted the skill of driving, and never forget that is what it is. It is a skill. I want to say, though, that maybe that's precisely the point and a good reason for why we should take a moment and ask if there are any spiritual lessons that we can take from a consideration of how we drive. Because the Lord himself showed us that we can do this very thing. We can see spiritual lessons behind the activities of daily life. Just consider his own conversation that he had with the Samaritan woman at the well, Jacob's well, in John 4, beginning at verse 5, the Bible says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ started a conversation about eternal life from the activity of drawing water from a well. So we know that he did things like this, and in speaking parables countless times, more than could possibly be mentioned in the Bible. The Bible couldn't hold them all. There's not enough pages to hold all of the things that he said and did. But before I proceed, though, I want everyone in attendance to know that I'm not presenting this particular sermon just because I'm a truck driver and I want people to drive safer over the road. That's a part of it. It's a little part of it. It's not the whole, though. I had thought this way, that once I started getting going with this sermon, what a glorious thing, what a wonderful thing it would be if I could present a sermon like this to a group made completely of truck drivers. All the questions I would put to them. But then, I actually had to step back and admit to myself that if I had the opportunity to do that, it would probably, or I should say the sermon that I would present would appear to be something more akin to an inquisition than a gospel sermon. And so that just wouldn't be right. So I believe the most appropriate thing to do as we think about this is to imagine our own private vehicle, our car, our truck, our motorcycle, if Brother Paul were here, in our minds, driving along as we see that that is something that nearly everyone can relate to. Indeed, we can certainly draw spiritual lessons from an examination of how we drive. That's because the Hebrew writer in chapter 12 that we just read spoke in spiritual terms when he talked about running a race. And we might think of this as the race of life. And I want to posit to you that we think of our driving as a subset, a subcategory of how we run that race. That race of life is something that we're always running 24/7. However, we only drive our cars, our trucks, a few hours a day at most. The spiritual race of life we are told to run with patience. Our driving is to be done safely, with courteous consideration of others. Furthermore, it's something that we do whether we're alone on the road, or whether we're in bumper-to-bumper traffic. We each know how we drive, and others know how we drive, and most importantly, God sees how we drive. Now, brethren, I want to stop on this one point, just briefly. I want to stop on this opening point, thinking about how we know how we drive, other people can see how we drive, and they know it says something about us. As I say to you that I love the way the Word of God says so much in just a few words. More particularly, there's some beautiful statements said about some of the biblical persons and figures that speak volumes to their character and the sorts of individuals they were. In just a sentence or two, we see how the Bible shows us exactly why the God of heaven tasked certain individuals to do the things that they did in the world in order to fulfill his divine promises. For instance, we're clearly meant to believe that in his day there was no one like the man Job in terms of his faithfulness to God. Job 1 verse 8 says, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Moses was declared in the scriptures to have been the meekest man in the whole earth. Numbers 12 verse 3 says, Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses was the meekest man in the whole world. Even before he was made king, David was declared of God to be a man after his own heart. Saul, speaking to Saul in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, he says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." These are some of the most astounding things that were ever said of anyone, and they were said by inspiration of God. We just mentioned David, but speaking of those ancient kings of Israel, there was something said about another particular king of Israel that speaks to a personal quality of his, and we want to make a special note of that at this point in our lesson. Please read with me 2 Kings 9, verses 16 through 20. "So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. And there stood a watchman on the tower in Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came, and said, 'I see a company.' And Joram said, 'Take an horseman and send to meet them, and let him say, "Is it peace?" So there went one on horseback to meet him and said, 'Thus saith the king, "Is it peace?" And Jehu said, "What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me." And the watchman told, saying, "The messenger came to them, but he cometh not again." Then he sent out a second on horseback, which came to them and said, "Thus saith the king, "Is it peace?" And Jehu answered, "What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me." And the watchman told, saying, "He came even unto me, unto them, and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously." Brethren, we can safely say that Jehu's driving reputation preceded him. His way of driving was well known, and for good reason. We won't be making a study of the life of Jehu in this lesson, but only to say that if we were to follow the events of his life as we read the Bible, we see how his furious way of driving was very much an offshoot of the rest of his personality, especially when you take into account the particular things that he did in the service of the Lord. Fury was very much involved. I'll not ask anybody if they drive like a Jehu, as I believe that this was something that was peculiar to him in his life. I mention him only in this way to show that the way we drive our motorized chariots today is also an offshoot of who we are elsewise. And with that in mind, I want to briefly take a look at six categories offered by the Mississippi Department of Public Safety in their breakdown of the driving population into percentage groups of these different modes of driving people have. There are, as they say, safe drivers, 41.2%, speeding drivers, 22.7%, distracted and aggressive drivers, 17.3%, distracted drivers, 15%, most dangerous drivers, 2.4%, and impaired drivers, 1.3%. Now we're going to take these numbers that are offered to us with a grain of salt. After all, when you add all these numbers up, 0.1% isn't even accounted for. I don't know exactly why that is, except maybe the authority that put this together wants people to assume for themselves who fills that missing percentage, what group they're in. So first, again, the Department of Public Safety puts safe drivers, and we're putting that in quotes, safe drivers at 41.2%. Yes, 41.2% of the drivers on the road are said to be safe drivers. I do not believe these particular numbers, because I don't think these numbers reflect reality. I am dubious of this information. It just doesn't appear right to me. And with that said, I know the government is at least somewhat scientific in the way that they collect all this data and put this related information together to create these charts for us to be aware of things out there. So we're just going to go with these numbers for the sake of these different examples of the different ways people drive. Let's consider, though, such a large percentage of the whole population of drivers as being safe. 41.2% is almost half. Furthermore, it's the biggest of these subgroups. It's the biggest percentage of all these. When someone says the word safe to me as it relates to driving, my thoughts are, well, that person knows what they're doing. They're safe, they're courteous, they're the best sort of driver there is. They're alert, they're cautious, and they're courteous. 41.2% of the drivers on the road don't strike me as being those things. I would have to put that percentage much lower than 41.2%. However, it does fit perfectly with the way that the world looks at things, that is, through a purely physical vein. So as long as the motorist is getting from point A to point B without being intoxicated, without being one who swerves on the road, running red lights, without speeding, without wrecking property, and harming themselves and getting other people killed on the road, they are said to be a safe driver. Now maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well David, you just demand perfection. What more do you want, really? What more do you want than that, brother? And I just want people to take care. And more importantly, God wants us to take care as we run the race of life. He wants us to take care as we drive on the roads of life from place to place as well. Just because someone is getting by without damaging themselves or another in their driving, just because they're not being ticketed or fined for the offenses they may be committing in their vehicle on the road when nobody is looking, doesn't mean that they're a safe driver. Just because we might have a squeaky clean driving record in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean that we're a safe driver. Is it a strong indicator that someone might be or is a safe driver? Yes. But can a safe driver be a safe driver without avoiding doing all those reckless things I just mentioned? No. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that driver is a safe driver. It may simply be that those certain circumstances that I mentioned at the beginning of this lesson have not overtaken that driver yet and sent him careening off the road and possibly off this mortal plane. It may just be that he's coasting along on a streak of time and chance, and he's getting by that way. We have to understand that to be a safe driver means we have made it our business to be so, and not by chance. Matthew 7, verse 20, beginning, the Bible says, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." David, you demand perfection. That's what you want. That's what you want, David. You want perfection. No, I know that people sin. I know that people make mistakes in the way that they drive along the road of life. Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But also know what the Lord said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 46. "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." again, our way of driving is an offshoot of the rest of our lives. So we ought to focus on being that at all times. Whether there's anyone around us on the road or whether law enforcement is around us or not. And also when we think in spiritual terms of being safe, or if I may say, right. Such a large percentage of the driving population as 41.2% flies in the face of the spiritual reality as described by the Lord Himself. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 beginning, He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The Lord here taught a spiritual truth that in the grand scheme of history, there are going to be a relative few that will be saved compared to the great majority of people who lived, but who sadly took no regard of God at all. Not of God's will, but of man's own selfish will, they choose not to obey. At least not in the large numbers that we would love to see. Now let's leave this idea of a safe driver alone for a moment. We'll think of it as being the best sort of driver that there is, and the kind of driver that we should all strive to be. We'll leave it alone for a moment, and then we'll circle back around to this idea of a safe driver at the end of our lesson, after we've taken a look at these other kinds of drivers and driving. Next, we have speeding, coming in at 22.7% of drivers. Now we're getting a little bit more realistic. I would still think that that number needs to be higher, though. But yes, speeding is a major problem. It's a problem that can cause other problems very quickly. I know as much as anyone else the need to get to where you're going in a timely manner. But speeding is not that. However, because speeding requires that a driver break the law and endanger the lives of the other people around him. Speeding requires that we abandon the golden rule and fail to consider others in the way that we want to be considered. Matthew 7, verse 11 beginning. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Brethren, I don't want to be boxed in as I'm approaching a place in the road where there's a first responder over on the right shoulder. Maybe it's a policeman. Maybe it's an ambulance. Maybe it's a fire truck. Maybe it's several things. Or maybe it's just a repairman out there changing someone's tire on the side of the road. And there I am trying to get into that left lane just to give them a little bit of space because they have no space. I never appreciated how dangerous the job is of servicing someone on the side of the road, whether it's changing those blown out trailer tires or so many policemen right there on the side of the road. But I can't get over because that lane is filled to the brim with people traveling as fast as they legally can to get to where they're going. So I can't move over. I can't do the courteous and safe thing for those people who are parked on the side of the road because there's literally no room for me to do so. So speeding automatically changes the situation for many other people on the road beside those who are the ones insisting on driving so very fast. That's not the way I want to be treated. I want others on the road to give me that little bit of room to maneuver as I endeavor to also give space to other drivers because I know they need a little bit of space. I know that's what they need. Does it bother you when you're driving along and someone passes you and they're going so fast it feels like you're not even moving? you say to yourself, and you've all experienced it, you say that person is driving at least 80 miles per hour. At least. You say to yourself, that person is begging for a speeding ticket. But maybe the truth is that driver is begging for a whole lot more trouble than just a speeding ticket. A speeding ticket is the least of someone's problems if they have an accident on the road, especially an accident that occurs at high speeds. And I don't mean to dwell on this one point for too long, but I simply don't know what the rush is anymore. I don't know why people want to drive so fast on a public road unless they have it in their mind that the road is all theirs, not yours, not mine. Something to be shared, it's all theirs. Maybe someone can explain it to me, because it looks like the world really has gone and gotten itself into a terrible hurry. Maybe they have read the Bible but did a little bit of, what do the old folks call it, pen knifing. They take a little something out. Maybe they've read those words, run the race of life with patience, except they leave out the patience part. I wonder how many people have been driving along so fast and they wonder themselves, I wonder if they've ever wondered, how long would it take me 150 years ago to travel this 80 miles? Well, needless to say, way back then it would have taken a whole lot longer than an hour. But today people can travel so far, so fast, and they still act like they can't get there fast enough. Tragically, we know that there have been many who were simply driving too fast, and they didn't reach their destination. At least, not the destination that they planned to reach when they first set out on the road. You know that a wreck on the side of the road is something that always has a way of taking our focus off the road. We want to know what's going on over there, so our eyes drift. We want to know exactly what's occurred. I know all about that. And this brings me to our next two categories. The Mississippi Department of Public Safety has distracted and aggressive drivers as representing 17.3% of drivers on the road, and just distracted drivers is making up 15% of drivers. They make an interesting little differentiation there between being distracted and being distracted slash aggressive. I think we can look at both of these at the same time because of that common criteria of a driver being distracted. Again, we're to believe that these two subgroups of distracted drivers together represent 32.3% of the drivers on the road. That's a lot of distracted drivers. You probably don't want to think that a third of the drivers around you are distracted, but they just might be. We see enough of it in our daily commutes. People are at one of either two extremes. They're either overly involved with something going on inside of the vehicle, or perhaps something going on in their own mind, or two, they're overly involved with something going on outside of the vehicle as they drive, but not focused on the road ahead of them. They may be distracted and have their attention focused on anything and everything except the road ahead of them. We've seen this. No matter how many PSAs and lighted sign messages saying, this state is a hands-free phone state. No texting. It's the law. So many signs. More and more those signs are going up. It's the law, the sign says. But people are still carried away with these and other distractions. Even something as understandable as getting a little bit into one's music as we drive along can become a distraction. And that's sad to say, because I do enjoy listening to my music. I'm sure we've all grabbed something to eat while we're driving. Reaching for something in our vehicle might seem like one of the most shortest distractions in duration, that which would happen so quick. We'll be done in just a second. Just going to grab something. But it can be one of the worst distractions of all, because it involves us taking our eyes off the road completely. And one of our hands. It involves our searching eyes, searching for something. But I ask you, what if someone were to look over at us at that moment? At that moment when we were What would they think of us in our driving? They wouldn't want us to drive their family or their friends anywhere. They would say, that person's not a good driver. They're not a safe driver. And what about sightseeing? Brethren, when we see people sightseeing so much and acting as if they're not about anything, that their attention is somehow everywhere and nowhere at the same time, I believe that that is really an indicator of a mindset that is lacking in something. It's lacking in an essential focus that is required for us if we're going to be safe drivers. Acts 17, beginning at verse 16, the Bible says, "Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily, and with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, 'Some, he saith to be a, seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." The Apostle Paul was focused like a laser beam on one thing: preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul had both hands on the wheel, spiritually, and was focused on the road ahead of him for the kingdom's sake, for the sake of the church of Christ, to a degree that few people ever were. And on the other hand, you have the Athenians that we just read about, who are more than content to entertain anything and everything except that one thing. So carried away were they by their idolatry. This concept of the resurrected Christ was something they found completely and utterly foreign. Perhaps we can even see the Mississippi Department of Public Safety's idea of a distracted / aggressive driver in them, as these philosophers took Paul and demanded answers of him, saying, "You're a setter forth of strange gods. You're telling us something we don't like. You bring strange things to our ears. You want us to focus on this Jesus when we have many different gods to choose from." These particular Athenians, are proof that people can become accustomed to their distractions. And if we're not careful, the worst thing that can happen will happen. The distractions will become what we prefer over the need to focus on the truth that's right out there in front of us. We've seen this phenomenon also, how the people actually get to the point where they will militantly defend their preferred distractions, their lies, their favorite lies. Furthermore, they just might insist that you adopt their preferred distractions and their favorite lies also. And when you refuse, when you don't want to go along with what they do, well then, there's trouble a-brewing. This brings us to the next category offered to us, quote-unquote, the most dangerous drivers, being 2.4% of drivers, again, according to the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. I would hate to take a close look at the particular drivers who helped to make up that particular percentage of the population of drivers and see exactly how they come to earn their place in that category. It would probably be a very sad thing to observe. These are the individuals we encounter on the road who are all about one thing, and it's not the thing Paul just spoke of. They're all about number one, numero uno. And that number one, sadly, is not Jesus Christ. It is themselves. They prove as much when you see that driver speeding, weaving in and out of traffic, changing lanes without giving any indication at all of their intentions. And of course, the people who end up on high-speed chases with the police, endangering the lives of everybody else on the road. Well, someone might say, well, David, maybe that driver only seems dangerous to you. It's through your eyes. That's your truth. Don't you love that expression? It only seems like that driver doesn't care about other people's safety. If nobody was injured, though, maybe it is that that driver is actually a very good driver, if you stop and think about it. Well, I would say to that we're not talking about good drivers in this lesson. We're talking about safe drivers as being the kind of drivers the Lord wants us to be. 1 John 4, verse 20, beginning, the Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. The proof that we love God is in the particular kind of love we have one for another. The proof that we are drivers who care is in our determination to be safe drivers. If you see someone driving on the road in such a way that shows that they have no regard at all for the safety and lives and welfare of those around them, then yes, it is safe to say that that driver truly does not care about anyone but themselves. The final category we have on this list is impaired drivers, making up 1.3% of drivers. Yet again, that number sounds like a whole lot of people who are said to be impaired as they drive. But what does that mean? A quick glance online will give you this definition of impaired. Adjective, being in an imperfect or weakened state or condition. Diminished in function or ability, lacking full functional or structural integrity. The idea that 1.3% of the drivers on the road out here are in a weakened state and diminished in their function or ability is a truly shocking thing, but I can't easily believe it, though. When I hear the term driving impaired, my first thought, and probably yours also, is, well, that's someone who's under the influence of alcohol or some other drug, someone who, because of their inability in their inebriated state to respond to the conditions of the road in a sober and timely and appropriate manner, are wholly unfit to be driving at all. In our spiritual application of what an impaired driver is, we can think of those who have chosen to drive down the road of life in such a way that they are so ensconced in their own wickedness, so far gone with their own problems of sin and lust, greed and vices, and perhaps even violent ways of living, that they appear to us to not even be in the running of that race of life the Hebrew writer describes at all. Spiritually, those are people who have completely broken themselves through sin. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, beginning, the Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is not to say that those who are spiritually impaired drivers cannot change their lives around and become safe drivers, but they must repent of their sins in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to do that. Verse 11 of that reading, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. As we close this lesson this morning, I want to return to that idea of a safe driver as being the ultimate and best kind of driver that we possibly can be. I want to repeat again those qualities I believe every safe driver has to be alert, to be cautious and courteous, and offer a few passages quickly of Scripture that I believe put forth those qualities as being attributes of a safe driver. Be determined to be alert. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Be determined to be cautious of the spiritual dangers along the road of life. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Be determined to be courteous to all those we come into contact with along the road of life. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are there unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Finally, let's not forget that we are to look out for one another. As we go along the road of life. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, the Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." In just a moment, we'll sing our song of invitation. But first, let's ask ourselves what kind of drivers we are for the Lord. We have to understand that we are not safe drivers if we are not drivers at all. And spiritually, we are not drivers for the Lord Jesus Christ unless we have gotten into the vehicle that He commands. We do that by becoming Christians, by hearing and believing the Word of God, expressing faith in the Bible as such, being convicted, ready and willing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ to truly be the Son of God, and then being baptized to wash away all of our sins. Then and only then can we said to be driving safely down the road of life. And even then, there's always the danger of becoming distracted as we drive. You might have noticed in our list all those different modes of driving that the Mississippi Department of Public Safety gave us. That distracted driver category is a bit of a catch-all, isn't it? Because we talked about speeding. Well, if you become distracted, you can start to speed without even knowing it. Have you ever done that before? I have. When you become distracted, the mind wanders. Have you ever let yourself think as you drive about something that ended up making you sad or upset? Or, maybe worse yet, something that made you angry? We have to know that if we insist on driving while we're too upset, it alters the way that we drive. It alters the way that we control the vehicle. And not for the better, for the worse. In fact, if you really let your emotions go while you're driving, you run the risk of letting something happen or causing something to happen that's every bit as destructive as those most dangerous drivers or those impaired drivers are capable of. So if you're hearing me this morning and you're saying to yourself, "I've become a distracted driver. I've let some sin into my life take my mind off the road. I'm not what I'm supposed to be for the Lord, and so I'm not what I'm supposed to be for others in my life. I want to be a spiritually safe driver so I can reach heaven, my final destination." If you're saying that to yourself, and know that you need to spiritually grab the wheel with both hands and rededicate yourself to the Lord. He is calling, and we're here to help you in whatever spiritual need that you may have. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.